Back to 1 Thessalonians today, chapter 5, if you have your Bible. I'm going to turn over there to that. I always ask you to open your Bible, even though I've got it on the screen. You can read it on the screen, but don't stay on the screen. And if you got your Bible open, I may refer back and you'll have it there in front of you. So that's why I say that. We're a little ringy up here. But now he's getting it. Okay. I guess that's why I need to blab a few minutes before I actually start, so they can find. All right. This is talking about this morning. It's really kind of a second half to what I talked about 2 weeks ago when I talked about the time when Jesus would appear in the sky and call his church unto himself. And of course, we know that he's not calling buildings up there. He's calling us, right? Us who are believers in Christ. Well, the second half of this is when it's what is called the day of the Lord. And so that's what we see Paul explaining here at the beginning of chapter 5. The day of the Lord is a day of great tribulation. You've heard that word before, haven't you? It's a period of time that happens very soon after the rapture or the catching away of the church. And when looking at that phrase, day of the Lord, I remember reading that several times throughout the Bible. And so I looked that up, and the phrase day of the Lord appears in the Bible some 27 times, 20 in the Old Testament and 7 times in the New Testament, that exact phrase. And not one of those 27 times is the day of the Lord described as something good or pleasurable. It's quite the opposite. Those passages in the Bible describe the day of the Lord as dark and miserable, and time of doom and destruction, a time when the wrath of God will be poured out on planet Earth after the church is gone. Amen. Right? And so those passages also describe the day of the Lord as being near. And so it's close. And as we observe world events and the deteriorating culture of the United States, we think surely it's closer even than we think. Now, if you'll recall, a couple of weeks ago, we were in chapter 4 where Paul was talking about the catching away or the rapture of the church. He started this conversation about end times in response to the Thessalonian Christians' confusion. They were confused at that point, number one, of where their loved ones, they had this question on their mind, were their loved ones who died in Jesus going to miss him when he came back, since they had already died? They were thinking that since their loved ones had died, Jesus was going to come back and they're going to miss him somehow. And they also had the question, well, maybe Jesus has already come back and all of us had missed him, and we're now living in the day of the Lord, or the tribulation, when the wrath of God is being poured out. So there was confusion going on there. And so Paul's answer to them is simply this: no, Jesus has not come back yet. And he's telling us that too, right? Jesus hasn't come back yet. And when he does come back, you're going to know about it. So don't, if you're in Christ today, actually, if you're not, I pray that you are, but believers and unbelievers will know when Jesus comes back. There won't be any question about that. We're going to know when Jesus comes back and pulls all of his people from this earth. And praise God, we're not going to be here for the day of the Lord that I'm talking about this morning. Because Christians who trusted Jesus as Savior Paul says, will not be subject to the wrath of God. You know what brings the wrath of God on you and me? Sin. You say, well, we're all sinners. Well, you know what keeps the wrath of God off of you? Jesus. Because Jesus paid the price for your sin and therefore averts the wrath or diverts the wrath of God from you and I. Amen? That's very, very good news, by the way. Non-believers, those who have not trusted Jesus as Savior, the Bible says will face the wrath of God in this time that the Bible calls the day of the Lord. Christians have a different destiny than non-believers, right? I really want everybody to go to heaven, don't you? I don't want anybody to miss Jesus. But our destiny as Christians is heaven. Now, let's look this morning, beginning there in verse 1 of chapter 5. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. By the way, those day and night listed there earlier is not talking about like it's light outside right now and when the sun goes down it'll be dark. Christians walk in the light because they know Christ. Non-believers walk in the darkness because they don't. And you see that thing about drunks get drunk at night. Well, you say, well, drunks get drunk in the daytime too, don't they? But the thing of it is, drunks are doing what people who reside in the darkness do. Sinners do what sinners do because they're in the darkness. I think we understand that fine. Verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Now, Paul had three objectives that I understand as he explains about God's end-time judgment and its effect on people in this passage. First off, God's judgment is swift. God's people are to live faithfully in the meantime. God's people are to be encouraged that they will be delivered before this time comes. First off, God's judgment is swift. God has made Himself known to this world. Would you agree with that? God has made Himself known. He's made Himself known through His creation. He's made Himself known through us, to us personally by the first coming of Jesus. Jesus shed His precious blood and died on the cross for the sins of all of mankind. He rose again that we can have the promise of eternal life in Him. God's done everything needed for everyone to be saved. Simply by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, so that as Romans 1:20 says, we are without excuse. God's made Himself known. God's made Himself known to us in His Word. We learn about God through His Word. And His Word says that judgment day is coming We are without excuse. Paul starts out in verse 1 saying that we need not to be concerned. Now he's talking to us as believers. You need not to be concerned about the time or the season when judgment day will come. He basically was telling the Thessalonians, you're worrying about the wrong thing. You have all the information that you need, that you and I have even more so than the early Christians. We have even more information. We've got the written word right here that they did not have at that time. They had letters, which later became scripture. We have all the information that we need in the Bible. It's right there. The question is, what are we doing with all the information that we have? Many of us sit and soak. That's what I'm saying. Sit and soak the Bible up. Week after week, month after month, year after year, and so forth and so on. But what are we doing with the information that we have? Paul says you've got all the information that you need. Don't worry about the time or the season or when it's going to happen. Just know that it's going to happen. It's laid out there for us. Verse 2 says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. In other words, before you have time to think about it. Sudden destruction, he says, will come, the Bible says, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. In other words, there's no escape. Ladies who have had babies, you know when labor begins, there's no stopping it, is there? It's going to happen. It happens. There's no escape. Now, you would think that a group of people who are left on the earth to face the wrath of the day of the Lord would not be too surprised. After all, Jesus has already called His people up. Their friends who are Christians have disappeared. Now that's not a fable or a fairy tale. It's in the Scripture. Graves of those who have died in Christ are burst open, and God calls those believers who have died. We studied that last time. Who have died in Christ. They hear when Jesus comes back and calls His church from the earth. And so all these things have already happened. So why would anybody else be surprised at the next thing that happens? It's amazing to me that there would be people who are still indifferent to the gospel at that time and uncaring about the things of God, that we see so many people today that are uncaring about the things of God. They don't care about the gospel. They don't care about the church. They don't care about anything but themselves, right? Well, there'll be some in this time, in this period, that will be saved. The Bible says that. There will be some that will be saved, but many will just keep on ignoring God. And they'll be surprised when their world starts falling apart, literally falling apart. If you're here today and you've not trusted Jesus as Savior, I urge you to do that right now. Right now. Don't wait. You know, we act like everything is okay and we try to live our lives peaceably and good. These are all good pursuits to have. But if we don't know Jesus, we are going down the wrong road with the rest of the world, right? Jesus says there's a narrow road and there's a wide road. He said, there's the narrow path to Christ. There's few on that road. It says few will find that path. And then there's the wide road, Jesus said, that leads to destruction. And many will find that path. So which path are you on today? Are you among those on the narrow path, or are you just out here in the world on the wide path going the way of the world with everybody else? Only moments from devastating consequences. God's judgment is swift, by the way. You say, preacher, why would you preach a sermon on doom and gloom? Why don't you preach a sermon that will encourage me, that will make me feel good and lift me up? But if I ignore these parts, you won't get everything, right? You'll have a false notion of who God is. But I find this, a message like this, encouraging. You know why? Because I know Christ is my Savior. And I know He's already got me taken care of. And if you know Christ is your Savior this morning, He's already got you taken care of. Amen? You're on the right path if you know Christ. You're not on the wrong path. A second thing that we see here is that God's people are to live faithfully in the meantime. There was a group of these believers at the Thessalonian church that were not doing that. They thought, well, Jesus is coming back and any minute we can just sit down, we can quit our jobs, and we can just kind of huddle together and wait for Jesus to come back. No, God wants us to live faithfully in the meantime. Why? Because we don't know the times or the seasons. Remember, they were confused about that. And Paul says, you don't need me to write to you about times and seasons. You already know everything that you need to know. Notice again, verse 4 says, but you're not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. Christians should not get caught off guard by future events. And you know all the things that we see in the world today? We really shouldn't be that surprised, should we? If we know our Bibles, we shouldn't be that shocked. Some of it is pretty shocking though, isn't it? And a lot of it makes us mad because it doesn't make any sense. But we really shouldn't be caught off guard with it. We shouldn't be surprised that events that are happening right now. In other words, Christians are to live with the end in focus and knowing what the end result is to all of these things. We see all the things that we see in the news and we hear that are just horrible. It just points to the fact that God's winding things down and Jesus is getting closer and closer. Now, is that going to make any difference to what I do in the morning, knowing this from the Scriptures? Is it going to make any difference when I go to work in the morning? Well, I'm going to still get up in the morning, do my usual thing. I always breeze through the kitchen and get the coffee started. That's the most important thing of the day, right? And then head down to the bathroom and do my shower and all that stuff. Get dressed. By then, the coffee's ready. My same old routine. Susie says, you do the same old thing all the time. I said, that's what I do. Same old thing. But when I see and hear the things on the news and so forth, I'm just gonna think, well, Jesus, he's coming back. He's coming back. And I'm ready to go when he gets here. But I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing. In other words, I'm gonna keep being faithful. I'm not gonna stop preaching. I'm not going to stop going to work Monday through Friday. I'm not going to quit doing all the other things that we have to do. We're faithful in the meantime, right? The Thessalonian Christians were just miserable at the time Paul was writing this to. They believed that Jesus was coming back to remove them from the persecution they were going through at that moment. Their persecution was so intense that they developed the idea that maybe this was the day of the Lord. I've talked to people before about trusting Christ and avoiding hell, and they would make the statement that I'm living in hell right now, preacher. How could it get any worse than what I'm living in right now? And quite frankly, I look around at where they're at and I'm thinking, yeah, I could see where you would think that this is hell. But it's not hell. There's a worse place than this. We may be persecuted and think we're in hell now, but there's a lot worse hell, right? But they were thinking that, you know, maybe I'm in the day of the Lord right now. We might think of that. We might think that maybe God has lifted his hand from the United States and all these things are going on because God is just sitting back and letting it go. And maybe he is, right? But this is not the day of the Lord. We're not living in the day of the Lord. It may seem that way, but we're not. It's still in the future. People who have rejected Christ and ignored God and ignored the church and all these things, they need to be fearful. They should be fearful. You and I, as Christians, know that Jesus is coming back and Jesus will set things straight. Won't he? He's going to set things straight. And so you and I, instead of being doom and gloom, we should live with hopeful expectation. It's exciting times, actually, that we're living in. You say, preacher, you're crazy. You know what? I remember my dad talking about. My dad grew up during the Great Depression. And some of you might have too, I don't know. But you remember it anyway, parts of it. You know your history. But he said people have always lived in periods of time where they thought, this is it. It can't get much worse than this. Can't you imagine if in that Depression era, people thinking, it can't get much worse than this? Or during World War II, for instance, that my dad was in there, and he was on a naval ship in the South Pacific, a medical ship, and they would respond to these battleships that had been bombed by the Japanese, and he was fishing people out of the ocean. Some of them still didn't even have all of their limbs. Horrible situation. Do you not think that he was thinking, it can't get much worse than this? And I say all that to say that with each generation, we always think, it can't get much worse than this, right? Maybe this is the day of the Lord. They might have thought that back in the 1940s or the Depression in the 1930s. But it does get worse. It can get worse, right? The day of the Lord is much worse. What do we do about it? Should we even care? As Christians, should we even care about the day of the Lord? You know, preacher, you just said we're not going to be here. You know, we're not going to be here. Jesus is going to get us out of here, and I'm very happy about that. What I'm not happy about, it is that I have family that don't know Christ, and I have friends that don't know Christ, and I know people that don't know Jesus. And we're just not as urgent about their salvation as we should be, right? That's why I care about the day of the Lord. The scripture is very encouraging to us who are saved, though it says that we're children of the light. We live in a dark world, but we're children of the light, children of the day, it says. We're not of night, not of darkness. We belong to God because we put our faith in Jesus. The future is bright, isn't it? The future's really bright. And verse 6 says, but let us not sleep. See, there it is. Let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. That's what Paul meant when he's saying, don't just lay around like nothing's going to happen. He says, this is the time when you need to be awake and you need to be sober or serious. Belonging to God, being a Christian means something, doesn't it? Does it mean something to you? It means a lot to me. And it's one thing to say that you walk in the light. It's another thing to prove it, right? I get so discouraged sometimes by people who tell me that they're Christians, and I really can't see anything Christian about them. Or that someone will die, and you know the kind of life that they lived, and suddenly, oh, they've gone to heaven. Because everybody goes to heaven when they die, right? Or they earn their angel wings. No, they don't. Not everybody does. Only the saved do. Only those who know Jesus do. And everybody doesn't get to go. I wish everybody could go. And God wanted everybody to go, right? The Scripture says He's not willing that anyone should perish. But if you're a Christian, let your lifestyle reflect that. Reflect your loyalty to Christ. Don't sleep. Stay awake. Be alert. Christians don't sleep like the rest of the world. And what I mean is that Christians shouldn't walk through life in ignorance of spiritual things. That's why that the preacher talks about the day of the Lord and all these different things. I'm not a topical preacher, by the way, usually. I just go through the Bible and tell you, try to exhort what is there, right? That's what you want to know, isn't it? What's in the Bible? What does the Bible say about these things? But the world seems to be sleeping when it comes to spiritual things. God is sounding the sirens of judgment, and the world's taking a nap. Jesus described it well in Matthew 24 when he's talking about the days of Noah. Noah lived his life awake and sober, like this verse says, or serious about the Lord, while the world just kept going like nothing was ever going to, tragic was ever going to happen. You know, just going along. Scripture says eating and drinking and having a good time, and then one day the flood came and swept them all away. And as bad as the flooding is in South Texas right now, it's not the flood, is it? It's not this flood. Because this flood is what wiped away all men, women, children, everyone, thinking that tomorrow is just another day. I'm going to do what I always did and do what I want to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then one day, it's gone. Jesus tells us to be alert, to be watchful. And being watchful means to be active, not just standing around looking at the sky. When's Jesus coming back? No, get to work. Get busy. Oh, I think that if we were, and myself included, I'm not just pointing the finger out there, myself included, if we would just get more active about the things of the Lord and bringing people in, this church would be full, wouldn't it? And every other church would be full. But what's happened is churches all over the countryside are like us or much worse. There's nobody here. Just a few of us. Just a few of us in relation to what could be, right? We need to take our faith seriously. We belong to Him, right? We don't belong to an unbelieving world. Verse 8 said we belong to the day, not the night. Light, not darkness. And then He says to put on the breastplate of faith and love. The breastplate is something that shows, right? It's something that shows faith and love, something that's visible. Let faith and love show forth from us, perhaps that would help us to bring people to Christ, right? But on the helmet of salvation, that sounds familiar. It's over in Ephesians 5 and 6, I believe. Have your salvation settled, in other words. Have it settled. Then there's a third thing, that God's people are to be encouraged that they will be delivered. Here it is in verse 9 and 10. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's God's desire. God's desire is not to punish people or have them to go through His wrath or all these things. God's desire is for everyone to be saved. Let's know that today. It's His desire to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we're awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Those of us who are in Christ don't have to worry about being caught up in God's wrath. God did not destine us for His wrath, but He destined us to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin brings God's wrath, and it was so important to Jesus that you not see God's wrath, that He died on a cross for you. Amen? God's design and His purpose for all human beings is that they be saved from this period of time called the day of the Lord. Jesus said in Revelation 3:10 that He would keep His church from the hour of trial that's coming. It plainly says that. He would keep His church from the hour of trial. That's good news. But you know, we never really fully appreciate what Christ has done for us until we get a hold of the fact that He died for us. We need to get a hold of that Christ died for us so that we could escape God's wrath on our sin. Do you understand that today? Do we understand that? You can't be saved outside of Jesus Christ. The Scripture says He is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. There are not alternative ways. It's Jesus and Him alone. Until we recognize how doomed we are apart from Christ, we never really appreciate how miraculous the cross of Christ really is. Amen? Paul's making this clear to the early Christians and those of us who've trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. If you die, you'll be with Jesus. If you're alive when He comes, you'll be with Jesus. Everyone who belongs to Him will one day be with Him. Amen. The point of this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 from beginning to end is that our only hope is Jesus. And so if you know Him today, this last verse is for you and I. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you've been doing. Encourage one another. That's what we do, right, as Christians. I like to hang out with Christians, don't you? But I also hang out with sinners sometimes because I want them to know Christ, right? I'm around sinners every day. You are too. If you walk out of this building, you're going to be among sinners. As a matter of fact, right now, you're among sinners saved by grace, right? Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's stand.